Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Unstoppable Story Show with Terrence Leftridge, where we talk to ordinary people with unstoppable stories. Now here's your host, life accountability coach, Terrence Leftridge.
Hey, 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 it is an unstoppable day.
And welcome to another Tuesday night edition of the Unstoppable Story Show with Terrence Leftridge. And your host, yep, that would be me, Terrence, the Unstoppable Coach Leftridge with Unstoppable Coaching. And here at the Unstoppable Story Show, we talk to ordinary people with unstoppable stories so that we can help you elevate your thinking, elevate your thought process, take your world from being stuck to being unstoppable. And how do we do that? We do that with phenomenal guests like the guests that we're going to have on the show later on this evening. But I want to bring you in, welcome you in on those who are listening on Blog Talk Radio and those, my friends, who are watching us on Facebook Live, like Estella Banks is watching and Sulandia Hammond from South Carolina is watching and Sharon Johnson Leftridge is watching. Thank you guys for spending another Tuesday night on the Unstoppable Story Show. And do me a favor, how about you just go ahead and send out some likes, send out some hearts. Why don't you go ahead and hit that share button and share it with your friends and your circle of influence, those people who might be feeling stuck tonight and are looking for a way to be unstoppable. I want to help you out tonight. My special guest, she's going to tell her story of how one time she was stuck in her situation, but she was able to overcome her situation, come back strong, and she's living the unstoppable life all around the world. So we'll be bringing her in just a few minutes, give an opportunity for some more people to join us live on Facebook Live. And if you can't join us on Facebook Live, but you want to still be a part of the conversation, then you can come on to the blogtalkradio.com show / unstoppable stories, or you can dial in to 323-870-3764. 323-870-3764 is that number. So thank you so much again for joining us tonight. We are also simulcasting on my other Facebook page, the Unstoppable Stories page. And I would love for you to go on over to that page, facebook.com/unstoppable stories. You'll see the banner, just like the banner behind me. Go on over there, like that page, show me some love, put your name out there, tell me your unstoppable story. And who knows, you may be the next guest on the Unstoppable Stories show. Yes, Sue Ham, it is an awesome show. And Sue Ham, she is an awesome woman. She was one of our past guests this year on the Unstoppable Story Show with Terrence Leftridge. And I am so grateful to her. And that brings me to what I wanted to talk to you about real briefly before we bring in our guests. I want to talk to you about gratitude. You know, we are in the Thanksgiving season, and it is by far one of the best holidays that I love in the fall, you know, because it's cold here in Chicago and I got to break out the sweaters and the jackets. I don't really like that much, but I'm grateful to still be able to have a sweater, to still be able to have a coat, to still be able to get in a car that has heat in it, to be able to walk into a house that where the heat is running fine. All those things I am grateful for. And I just want to tell you a brief story about gratitude. I used to run this program for families that were victims of domestic violence or they were homeless as a result of substance abuse. And we would help them go from a homeless shelter and get them set up in their own apartment. And then we would provide skills, coaching to help them get unstuck and move into the next level of their greatness. Well, at one point, one of the things we would do is we would meet weekly or monthly with the group of ladies in what I would call a peer group, peer jury is what I called it. We called it peer jury because we wanted the ladies to talk to the other ladies about the situations that they were dealing with. Because as a coach, I can tell you some things. I can give you some strategies. I can talk to you about what you should or should not be doing. But it really doesn't hit home until you can hear from other people that are in your situation how they've been able to get through your situation. You know, I can't tell a woman how to be a woman because I'm a man. I can't tell a mother how to be a mother because I'm a man. But when you put other people in the room that have similar situations but different results, when you put other people in the room that have decided that they're not going to do the same thing over and over again expecting different results because they realize that's insanity, then you are able to see something from a real point of view that maybe I can't give you. So during this one time, we talked about asking each one to go around the room to say five things that they were grateful for. And we had one woman at the time. I won't say her name because that's really not important. But we had her stand up in the middle of the room amongst this peer jury, and she couldn't think of one thing that she was grateful for. Even though she was standing in the room, even though she could see the people that was looking at her, even though she could hear the stories from other people that had got in front of the room prior to her, even though she was able to walk into that building, even though she was going to be able to go to her apartment after this was over, she, in her state of mind at that point, couldn't think of one thing that she was grateful for. And it was disheartening to see, but it was also a pivotal moment in her life, because as she struggled to find one thing to be happy or one thing to be grateful for, she began to well up tears in her eyes, and she began to really break down. And she would later go on to tell us the story that she was always that person that in the eyes of other people seemed like she had it all together. She was showing the world her representative, but she really was tore up from the floor up inside. And so as she stood there in the middle of that room, at that point in her life, I would say the lowest point in her life, she was not able to think of one thing to be grateful for. And so I said to her, well, let's just think about it. Can you see me talking to you? Yes, she said. Can you hear what I'm saying to you? Yes, she said. Can you see all these other women that are looking at you right now and supporting you? Yes, I can see that, but I really don't feel that. Do you recognize that you're in a place that has taken you from homelessness and put you into an apartment situation and have brought you to this place right now so that you can continue to work to get better for you and your son? Because she had a teenage son at that time. And as she began to hear those things that she couldn't come up with herself, the tears stopped falling and a new realization was coming over her. You see, what gratitude allows you to do, it allows you to look at the small things that you can do instead of focusing on all the big things that you may not be able to do right now. And far too many times we spend too much energy on focusing on the big things that we're not able to do yet, when we should be focusing on the small successes that we've been able to do right now. That's gratitude. You didn't have to be here right now listening to this show. You didn't have to have the ability to hear what I'm saying and what our guest is going to be saying in a couple of minutes. There are millions of people in this country and around this world that don't have the gift of hearing, but you do. There are millions of people that don't have the gift of sight, so they can't see this show, and they can't see the passion that's coming from my voice, and they can't see the passion that's going to come from our guest a little bit later. But you do. That's something to be grateful for. There are millions of people that don't have access to the internet because of their finances or because of some other situation. They cannot be able to see this show right now, but you can. And that's something to be grateful for. So as we move into this spirit of Thanksgiving, I want you in your own personal life to really take the challenge and find five things that you can be grateful for. Not just one, because I know if you stretch, you'll find five. Five things that you are grateful for this year. And I want you to either put it in this feed or go on over to facebook.com/unstoppablestories and just write those five things in my comment section on the Unstoppable Stories page. And here's the two reasons why I want you to do it. Number one, it's going to make you feel better. I guarantee it. The fact that you're focusing on things that are going good in your life and things that you're grateful for, it's going to make you feel better. But here's the number two reason. It's going to make me and everybody else who goes to that page feel better about themselves too. Because here's the one thing I know. Whenever I listen to somebody else talk about what they're grateful for, I can resonate with that very same thing that they're saying. And I'll be just like, oh, wow. Yeah, I'm grateful for that too. I work with seniors now, and many times they'll say to me, after they say good morning, I'll say, how you doing? They'll say, I'm grateful to be able to be up in my right mind this morning. Yeah, I'm grateful to be able to get up this morning and still be in my right mind, because as crazy as I am, I could be worse. So I'm grateful that I was able to get up. If you post what those five things that you're grateful for, and then you read what's grateful for, I guarantee after you read that first person, you'll probably have seven or eight things you're grateful for. And then you read that other person, then it's going to jump from 10 to 15. And then you read that other person, and then it's going to jump from 20 to 25. And sooner or later, you will recognize that you have far more things to be grateful for than you ever thought was possible. It all begins in the mind. And for the next 7 days between now and Christmas, well, the next 9 days, I really want you to focus on what you are grateful for. Whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, whether it's your relationship, whatever it is, write it down and make a point to say thank you. And if you're really bold, do what I do. Say thank you, God, that I'm grateful for today. I guarantee you that if you choose to be grateful, if you choose, like John Garcia just says, to have an attitude of gratitude always, then I guarantee you, you're going to have some unstoppable days. And why would you ever settle for less when you can be unstoppable? Think about that as we move forward and we move on into today's show. So thank you guys so much for being a part of the Unstoppable Story Show. We have a great guest for you tonight. She is one of my new friends. I have had the opportunity, and I'm grateful that I've been able to meet a lot of new people this year from across the country and across the globe. And she is one of those people. She is one of my good friends now. She is Marie Cosgrove. Marie Cosgrove is an entrepreneur, an investor, and an international speaker. She serves as the CEO of BalanceBack, the world's leading manufacturer of diagnostic and treatment devices for dizziness, concussions, and traumatic brain injuries. She survived a difficult upbringing filled with violence and abuse, and single-handedly raised four children and was at one time homeless. An incredible, incredible story. Her journey has took her from becoming a number one national sales rep to being fired, then to becoming the CEO of the same company that she was fired from and taking it international. But that's not all about Marie. Marie gives back to her community, and she's the founder of the Virtue Project, a ministry-based organization dedicated to helping teen girls and single moms become financially self-sufficient, overcome depression, improve their self-confidence, and obtain entrepreneurship opportunities through education and value-based principles. I had the opportunity to share the stage with Marie last month in the RGV, the Rio Grande Valley, along with Les Brown, Shamir Mallard, John Garcia, Tracy Ward, Milton Gonzalez, and a host of other exciting people in the Bringing Out the Millionaire in You conference down in Far Texas. And now she's our guest on the Unstoppable Story Show with Terrence Leftridge. Please welcome to the show, Miss Marie Cosgrove. Marie, are you on the call?
I am on the call. Thank you so much, Terrence, for having me as a guest.
No, thank you for taking time out of your internationally busy schedule to be on this show. I appreciate you so much, and just thank you so much again for blessing the Unstoppable Story Show. Now, I gave a great bio. It's a great press release, but the people want to hear from you. So, Marie, take a second to really give us a little bit more about you, and then I'm going to jump into our questions for tonight. So just give us a brief introduction about who Marie Cosgrove is.
I'm a mother of five children. You know, I'm getting some feedback, and I don't know if that's on my end.
I'm not sure if it's on your – are you getting the feedback through the phone?
Yes.
Are you talking directly into it, or are you on a speakerphone?
Let me take it off speaker. How's that?
Yeah, that's probably – you tell me. You sound fine on our end, but if you're getting the feedback, it's probably because you're
okay.
On speaker.
I just hear my voice bouncing back. So if you can't hear it, that will be fine.
Okay, I can hear you fine. So go ahead. You're a mother of five.
I am a mother of five and a grandmother of three. My oldest is 26. He's married, has two daughters, beautiful daughters. And then I have my daughter, she's 25 and married. And then I have my 22-year-old, a 20-year-old, and a 7-year-old. And that's really what makes me super happy, and I'm so thankful to God that He gifted me with five beautiful children.
Wow. And you know what? The fact that you have those adult children and you only look 27 yourself, that's amazing to me to begin with. So I am grateful to whatever God has blessed you with in your gene pool to have you looking just as fabulous as you do with those grown kids.
Thank you. I'm actually 47, almost 50.
All right. Well, you know what? You are definitely a superwoman. You are definitely every woman. You are doing everything that a woman has dreams of doing, from motherhood to being a boss with your own company. But as I ask each and every guest that's on my show, I want to ask you the same question as we start our conversation tonight. What does it mean to you, Marie Cosgrove, to be unstoppable?
To me, what it means to be unstoppable is to persevere, not to give up, and to keep on going.
And how have you been able to do those three things in your life as a boss and as a mother?
Well, one of the things that I was able to do, and you were talking about this earlier, is gratitude. When I found myself homeless, lost my home, lost my car, lost everything, and I'm with four kids. At that time, I had four children. The only thing I can think of is I am so thankful that I have my children. And I had this gratitude that at least I had them. And that gave me the strength to persevere and to continue on and not to give up, because I couldn't give up. You know, Les Brown says you've got to be hungry. I literally was hungry, not only me but my children. And that was the fuel that kept me going.
I love it. And you know what? Let's dig deep into that story, because the one thing we talk about on the Unstoppable Story Show is we want to talk about who you are today, because yes, you are phenomenal. You got great things going on. You are a success by your standards as well as society's standards. But that wasn't always the case. You mentioned in your bio that at one point you were homeless, and you also survived a difficult upbringing of violence and abuse. So we know, and I know from doing this show now for over 2 years, that there are a lot of young Maries that will listen to this show that may be at that point where they are also going through a difficult time in their life, or they're at a transition point in their life where they are stuck and don't know how to go to the next step in their life. So I want you to, if you can, and as much as you feel it's so inclined to tell us about your past, tell us your unstoppable story of how you overcame those things in your past to get to where you are now.
Okay, sure. I'll share a little bit, not really to give a pity party about my past, but really to help encourage those that may be going through a difficult time. And I don't know what you're going through, who's this line listening, but I can share what I'm going through, and I'm hoping that somehow I can impart with you some of the lessons that I learned. I had a difficult childhood because my mother was in a car accident. She suffered permanent brain damage from this car accident. She was in a coma for over 3 months. And she had severe bleeding in her brain. The doctors gave up on her. They didn't want to do surgery. They said that she wouldn't make it, that my grandmother fought hard for her and insisted on the surgery. Despite the successful surgery, she still suffered brain damage. She was still in a coma, and they were going to give up on her. But one day, the doctor said, we're going to pull the plug. And my grandmother said, no, give me just one more day. And I know many of us, I've been there. Can I have just one more day? And the doctors gave her one more day. The next day, my mother opened her eyes, and she had to learn how to talk, walk, and do everything all over again. But despite that, she still had brain damage. And during recovery, she was raped, resulting in pregnancy. And the doctor said, well, there's no way that she can carry this child because she's on a lot of medications for the brain damage. And physically, she can't handle it. And then think of all of the shame that's going to come onto the family for having a child who is especially out of rape.
Yes.
But my mother, she said, I am not going to allow this baby to be aborted. God save my life, and they're not going to take it away from my child. They're not. And the doctors insisted she doesn't know what she's talking about. She's brain damaged, mentally, and she's not stable. We can't let this happen. But my grandmother had enough faith and said, I'm going to help you raise your child. And that child was me.
Wow.
And today I'm very thankful for that. But I wasn't as a child. I was full of shame, insecurities, not having a father, not knowing who he was. My cousins would remind me, you're not part of the family. We don't know who your dad is. On my birth certificate, where it says father, it's Blake. So I took on my mother's last name, Longoria, but they would tell me, not all my cousins, I had family members that were very supportive and kind. But I had other family members that were not so kind. And for some reason, those are the ones I listen to. They say that when someone tells you a positive comment and someone says something negative, it'll take 24 positive comments to get rid
yes.
of the one negative comment.
Yes. And don't we know that just from the media? And that's why the media, I think that's why the media really focuses so much on the negative news, because they know that that's something that we will retain over and over and over again, as opposed to those positive things that are happening in life, like the positive fact that, you know, despite the challenges that your mom was going through, she still created this life that turned out to be this phenomenal woman that we're talking to on this show tonight. Still, even in your own mind, you dealt more so with the negativity that was coming your way than the miracle that was your birth and your creation into this world to begin with. How was it so hard for you to not focus on that positive story that you already started, you already told us, but deal with the negativity that was coming your way after you were born?
Well, because my mother had brain damage and she did not have a moral compass, so I wasn't raised with faith or religion, but my grandfather was so amazing, and I'm so thankful for him, because he gave me some basic principles, like treat others as you want to be treated. But when I was with my mother, I experienced a lot of abuse, because she would have men coming in, and I experienced things that no child should experience.
Oh, yeah.
And so I walked around thinking everybody knew that this awful thing happened to me, but yet I tried to hide it. I couldn't talk about it, but I sensed that people could see right through me. And I sensed insecurity and unworthiness and shame. And I carried that with me for quite some time. That caused me to make poor relationship choices. And I can own that now. But if you asked me like 10 years ago, I wouldn't be able to own it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I ended up marrying an abusive husband. And I remained in that relationship. We would break up, get back together, and I would just believe that this time it would be different. And the pattern was consistent. It wouldn't stop until I finally left and cut that pattern.
Mm. And you know what? That's a great segue right there. Let's stop right at that point for this moment. And again, we're talking to Marie Cosgrove. She is the CEO of Balance Back, and she's telling us her unstoppable story of how she has overcome being the child born to a mother who was brain dead at the time, and that being the very first obstacle in life, and then the other obstacles that she had to overcome as she moved through her life onto this unstoppable journey that she's on right now. And we invite you guys to definitely give your comments if you have some questions, or if you want to give some encouragement here on Facebook Live or on Blog Talk Radio. You can go ahead and put the comments in on the Facebook Live page, like John Garcia has, and like Solandia Hammond has, and like Estella Banks has. You can do it there on Facebook Live, or you can also join the conversation on Blog Talk Radio. All you got to do is call in to 323-870-3764. Let's get back into the conversation. You left off at that point, bad choices, bad relationships, in and out, in and out. You finally decided to walk away, which led me to my second question. Was there ever a time in your life, and this may be the story that you were just telling us, where you felt like giving up, but you chose to be unstoppable instead?
Yes. When I left, I felt that there was nothing for me, nothing left. But when I looked at my children, and that is what gave me the perseverance and helped me to persevere and keep on going with my children. And that's
okay,
the only thing I had, literally. I didn't have anything else but my children.
What's your children's names, Marie?
Eddie. Genesis, Justin, Isaiah, and Lindy's my youngest.
All right. Shout out to all of you, all of them. Appreciate you for sharing this with us. What was it about the children that helped you, helped you to continue to persevere in spite of what you were dealing with in the relationship and in your life at that time?
Well, The father became abusive towards the children, extremely abusive to the point where he lost parental rights. And that, you know, when a mother gets abused, it's different. When the kids get abused, it's like mama bear comes out, like, oh no,
right.
I don't know my kids.
Yeah.
But my oldest at the time, who's 26, they told me he wouldn't make it past 18. He had a rare disease called JDMS, and I was giving him weekly Enbrel shots and having to take him to physical therapy every week and have him tested for his internal organs so that they wouldn't shut down. So we had serious medical conditions that I had to take care of. And it's funny sometimes because we think, not really funny, but when we have some of the toughest adversities in life, that is really what keeps us going. Because if life was so peachy perfect, we wouldn't, I mean, it'd be boring.
It would be boring.
And for me, maybe I have this personality type where God has to hit me with a 2x4 so I can wake up. But that's pretty much what was my life and helped me to keep going.
I love it. And you know what? You're not alone in that. You know, I always think about my favorite quote from Dr. Martin Luther King, where he says, the true measure of a man, and I paraphrased it into saying the true measure of any person is not where they stand in times of comfort and convenience, but where they stand in times of conflict and controversy. You know, it's easy to stand up and to be noticed when everything is going right and when everything is flowing the way it's supposed to flow. But when life is trying to knock you down, when life is kicking you in the rear, when life is just spiraling around you, that's when you find out who you are. And for you, that's when the mama bear, you know, comes out and takes center stage. So I appreciate you for telling that great story from your personal life. So I want to ask you this question, and then we're going to transition into who Marie is right now. What would you say to that? Yep, let's just use your story. There's a young parent now that may have children and may also be in an abusive relationship right now, and you know they're getting knocked down and they're getting abused, and but they just haven't found that desire to leave. What would you say to that person now?
I would say that your happiness is no one's responsibility but your own. If you have toxic people in your life, in your relationship, and your relationship is not serving you, you've got to move on and eliminate them from your life. And especially if you have children, because your primary responsibility is to protect your children. And love is not hurtful. It is not jealous. It is not abusive. And that is not true love. And I know it is so hard to get out of that type of relationship because I was in it over and over and over again. I mean, I get pregnant and get separated, get pregnant and get separated and come back. And just believing when they would say, I'm so sorry, please forgive me, because they turn so charming and you want to believe that with all of your heart.
Right. And this time will be different.
Yes. You believe that it's different. You want to believe that. But when the respect is gone, it is so hard to rebuild that relationship.
Wow.
And I'm not saying miracles don't happen, but what I'm saying is you really should not go back until there's been true healing, and that takes years. It takes years to break that pattern in someone who's abusive.
Well, you know what? I'm so glad that you were able to make that transition and get away from that situation and be able to thrive and be the person that you are today, not just for yourself, but for your children and for people that you are now mentoring and telling your story to across the world. We're talking to Marie Cosgrove. She is the CEO of Balance Back, and she is also telling her unstoppable story this evening here on the Unstoppable Story Show about how she's moved from her path, and she is clearly walking and talking in her purpose. Thank you guys who are watching us on Facebook Live. Solandia Hammond talked about being grateful from earlier. She's grateful to have family and friends. She's grateful to be alive and well, to be able to live my dreams, grateful to help others, and grateful God thought enough of me to send me here to do my work. Thank you, Sue Landia Hammond, for sharing the five things that you are grateful for. And we're going to continue our conversation with Marie Cosgrove, because Marie not only has this incredible, fascinating, powerful story about how she's overcome some struggles and some challenges in her personal life, but she also has overcome some enormous obstacles in her professional life. I've said to you guys a couple of times in this broadcast that she is the CEO of Balance Back. So, Marie, tell us about Balance Back, and then tell us about your unstoppable story to becoming the CEO of this company.
Okay, well, Balance Back is a company that manufactures diagnostic devices that help doctors diagnose dizziness, vertigo, concussion, traumatic brain injuries, and we also make devices that treat. So when a patient has dizziness or vertigo or they feel like the room is spinning, generally the doctors will prescribe medication that has an 83% failure rate. But there is a device that helps diagnose, and if they can diagnose properly, there's a 99% cure rate.
Okay.
And the device is available for medical doctors, neurologists, audiologists, some of the primary hospitals in the United States like Dartmouth, Yale, Vanderbilt, University of Miami, University of Kentucky, University of North Carolina, throughout the United States, and some of our military and VA hospitals have the equipment.
What gave you the desire to go work for this company in the first place?
At this point, I was homeless, and I had lost a corporate job with USAA. They are a Fortune 500 company, and I was doing fairly well, but because of me being a single mom and my son's medical condition, I could not hold on to that full-time job. So I thought that I could do part-time, and I could not do that. I ended up losing everything. The only thing I could think of is I could still take care of my children and take them to the doctor's appointments would be a commission-only job in which it was straight commission.
Right. What you worked for, that's what you get paid.
Yes. And I saw this opportunity, and when I asked them if I could work for them, they said no. But I convinced them to give me an opportunity if I went to training, and I paid for a training on my own. So the little bit of savings that I had, I took that, went to training, and I did very well. I got 100 on all of the tests. But the last day, on the fifth day of training, the president came up to me and he said, little girl, you're never going to make it in this industry. It's a man's world. Why don't you just go home and sell candy?
No, he didn't.
He said, that's the most. Yep. He said, that's the most you'll be able to sell. And I was the only woman in the room. The only minority. And he said it in front of everybody. And I just told him, look, it's a 30-day contract, straight commission. You have nothing to lose. So he gave me a 30-day contract. I went back home and I was so excited to prove him wrong. However, my grandfather, who was very instrumental in my life, was diagnosed with leukemia and was put in the hospital. I was at his bedside every day. And after 3 weeks, he passed away. And I got a call from the president of the company, and they said, we are going to cancel your contract if you haven't made a sale. And I said, I have 1 week left. He just laughed and hung up on me.
Wow.
So I went and I called hundreds of doctors that 1 week. And it was the last day that I made a $150,000 sale. Made my quota for over 3 months that day.
Look at God.
Yes.
Wow. So the person who was homeless when this opportunity came her way, the person who took the very little savings that she had, even though she had 5 kids plus herself to take care of, the person who paid for her own training, the person who accepted a 30-day contract with no upfront money, the person who had to deal with yet another tragedy of her grandfather within those 30 days passing away, at the end of those 30 days was still able to come back and reach her quota and tell the very people that doubted her that you could prove them wrong. Is that what you're telling me, Marie?
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine the look on his face.
Yes, I became a number one. I'm sorry, what was that?
What was his expression when you came back with that $150,000 contract?
Well, they didn't believe it. They said, let's see if the check clears.
And when it did.
When it did. By that point, I had made more sales. So they drove down to see me work. And see what I was doing.
Now they were interested.
Then they were interested, yes.
But this story still has another loop even after you proved yourself in those first 30 days. There's another pitfall in the story. Go ahead and tell them what happened after that.
Well, after that, the company that I was working for lost their contract. And I had signed a contract non-compete. So I couldn't sell for them anymore. But I had to look for, by this time, a year had passed, and I had experience. And I started to sell for other companies. One of those things balanced that.
Okay.
And I did very well with Balance Back, but I got a call from the president one day saying that I was making too much money on commission. They were going to put me on salary. But I couldn't afford the salary because of my kids and the medical expenses that I had.
Right. You needed that commission
money.
So
I said I can't. I did. And I told them I couldn't accept the salary. So they said, well, then you can't work for us anymore.
Wow.
And after that happened, I couldn't remain bitter. I started selling for other companies. And I started another company.
Okay.
And
I love,
then 2 years later,
I love how with each layer of this story, you didn't give up. I love with how it, with each punch that came to you throughout this story, you didn't fall down. You did what Les Brown said. If you're going to fall, you fall on your back, because if you can look up, you can get up. And I hope my audience is recognizing that as she continues to tell this layered story from her professional life, she's still weaving in the things that she had to deal in her personal life at the same time. But yet she is still coming back and coming back and coming back. And now you've got to this point that even though you got fired from this great company because you were making more money than they could afford to pay you, you went out and just started your own company, and you continue to push forward anyway. Is that what you're telling me, Marie?
Yes.
I love it. So go ahead with the story.
So then 2 years passed, and I received a call from one of the owners of the company that had let me go, which was Balance Back. And they asked me if I was interested in investing in the company.
So wait. The company that fired you 2 years later calls you to ask you that. Wait. Let me even back up even further. The company that fired you 2 years prior because you were making too much money for them on commission now calls you 2 years later to ask you to invest your money in them. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I never thought about it that way. Yeah, but pretty much.
Oh my God. And what did you say?
I said that I wanted to review the financials, flew to Dayton, Ohio, to look at the financials and evaluate. And I noticed that when they had the most sales or the most profitability because of the sales, that's when I was making the sales.
Mm-hmm.
So I decided, and it's not to try to impress upon you that how important it is to persevere and keep on going. And I said, I don't want to buy shares. I want to buy the entire company.
Whoa. Oh, she hit him with the boss move. I don't want to buy shares. I want to buy the whole thing. Yeah, I really need y'all to hear that.
Yeah.
She didn't want just a piece of the company 2 years after they fired her. She came back and took the whole company. Wow. And I've heard you tell this story so many times, but every time I hear it, I just am overwhelmed with your success and with your tenacity and with your perseverance. And with the fact that that is the epitome of someone who had a setback and turned it into a comeback. So you, 2 years later, you actually bought Balance Back, and now you're the CEO of the company, correct?
Correct.
And how long have you been in that position?
7 years.
7 years. And tell us how the company has done in the 7 years under your leadership.
We've done fairly well. We're international now.
Okay.
And what's funny, though, is that when I purchased it, all the competitors began to say, oh, that company's not going to make it under her leadership. It's not going to last more than 6 months. Those guys are gone, and we're still standing.
So once again, there was that negative chatter in your ear, that negative talk that was in the industry about you. Once again, they were counting you out and not really understanding who Marie Cosgrove is. And now 7 years later, you're still standing while they're already out of the business. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, correct. And I will say this, though. We have the smartest team. I'm so blessed because we've got the engineering team from UD, University of Dayton, and we've got the founders, the clinicians that help develop these products. And we are an employee-owned company. And I made it an employee company because I wanted the employees to have buy-in. And if they have buy-in, they're going to want to do the best job because they own it. They're part of it.
Exactly. You know, if one person wins, we all win. I love that method. I love that model. You know, I'm looking on Facebook and Estella Banks says, what an inspirational story. Wow. Tavia Free Spirit is saying that was totally meant to be, the setback to the come up, not just the comeback, the come up. So they are really filling your story here on Facebook. And you guys were talking to Marie Cosgrove, the CEO of Balance Back, telling her unstoppable story of how she has overcome obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. But due to her tenacity, due to her perseverance, and due to her unstoppable spirit, she's been able to succeed at all levels in her personal life as well as in her professional life. So, Marie, I want to ask you another question because, as you stated earlier, you are a minority just like I am, and you are a woman, but you also are a CEO of an international company. Have your challenges been more difficult as a CEO because of your heritage in your gender? And how have you been able to overcome those challenges as a CEO?
Yes, I have those challenges, and I continue to have those challenges. And I do not look at myself as a victim. I just can't afford it. And the way I look at it is there are going to be people that are just
no, because.
No matter what. And just because that's who they are. And I'll give you an example. I had a distributor who wanted me to help them close a huge deal with a very big pain management practice.
Okay.
She had given my card, which had my name, my title on it, and said, I'm going to set an appointment for you to come in with this doctor, who's the owner of the clinic. And I said, okay. I went in, and the doctor looks at my card, and he says, Marie Cosgrove, looks at me up and down, and says, CEO, but you're Mexican. How did you get to become CEO? And I just turned it around and I asked him, do you know what my maiden last name is? And he says, no, what is it? And I said, Longoria. And he said, so? And I asked him, do you know Eva Longoria? And he's like, yeah, she's a famous actress. And I said, she's my little sister. And if you're nice enough to me, you might get to meet her.
Wow, wow, wow. Just the fact that they asked the question like that.
Right, so she's not really related to me. But
right, I got you.
I just confused the situation.
Mm-hmm. Wow. You know, so do you encounter that a lot in your position? I think you told me when we were down in Texas together about you were at another meeting and you before you announced who you were, they thought that you were an assistant or something like that. You told me a story like that.
Yes, I was at a trade show. My clinical director, Dr. Budadoya, was talking to another physician, and he's a lot older than me. He's so wise, so smart. And he said, you need to ask my boss. So the doctor said, oh, you mean your wife? And he says, no, my wife's not here. She's really my boss. And he's like, okay. So the doctor asked me the question. And then he says, your husband runs the company. And I said, no. Well, your husband's a doctor? I said, no. But he owns a company, right? And I said, no. And he said, so you're a doctor? And I said, no. Then how did you become CEO? But now, this is a while back. Now they pretty much know, but there are situations where they don't know, and they're shocked. They don't understand how that's possible.
You know,
and I just decided to ignore it, and I'm not going to be a victim about it.
I love it, and that is great advice. It's so sad that in this day and age, in 2017, that you have to go through those links to really express and almost defend the fact that you are who you are and you're able to do what you do. But that just goes back to that age-old statement that's out there. Never judge a book by its cover, because you can always set up your own perceptions. You can always set up your own ideals. You can also always set up your own ideologies when you just look at a person and not take the time to really get to know that person. You and I, we share the same height. Well, I'm a little bit taller than you when you take your heels off, but we share the same height. And I, just like you, often have to defend who I am and what I do, because I don't look like the person that I am. But hey, once I get out there and once I open my mouth and once I express myself, they understand that other age-old adage that good things come in small packages. And Marie, you're one of those good things in a small package. So thank you for not being a victim, and thank you for continuing to stand up and stand out with what you do at Balance Back. We're coming down to the end of the show, so I don't want to take up a whole lot of your time. Again, I want to thank you for the time that you have given to me, especially since you just got back into the country from one of your, I'm sure, phenomenal, profitable engagements that you had overseas. So I just want to ask one more question, and then I want you to give information on how they can get in contact with you. What advice? And we've been talking about this throughout the show. We've been talking about that younger Marie or that younger Terrence or that younger person who may be listening to this broadcast. And when I say younger, I'm not saying, you know, they could be an adolescent. They could be a teenager. They could be a young adult. They could be just starting their career right now. What would you say to that younger version of Marie who is still stuck but trying to find their unstoppable purpose in this world?
Okay, so I'd like to share three things.
Okay.
One of them is be clear on what you want, what you don't want, what you don't need, and people will respect you more for it when you set boundaries and you stand up for yourself. That's one of the things that I didn't do early on that I wish I would have done. But I learned from those lessons. And you're going to make mistakes, but those mistakes are meant to be lessons. The other thing is, listen to your intuition. You know, that's one of the things that I used to ignore that I don't ignore now. But life is like a roller coaster, so you're going to have to fasten your seatbelt. It is a wild ride, and you will survive, and your intuition is going to serve you so well if you begin to listen to your gut. And the other thing is, there's a couple more things. The other thing is, not to give up on your talent, your goals, and your dreams. I don't care where you came from. I don't care what your educational background is. It is possible to achieve your dreams. And don't give up on that. And then the final thing is that you are beautiful. And you are made perfect as you are. Your natural eye color and your natural hair color will always be the prettiest. You know, we were made, our voice box, our iris, our fingerprints, they are uniquely yours. No one, not even if you're a twin, has it exactly like you. And you are completely unique and beautiful exactly as you are. We live in a society where we want to compare ourselves with others. When I was younger, I had an aunt who would ask me, if you could change something about yourself, what would it be? And I would think, maybe you should change your fat teeth. Maybe get rid of your double chin. Maybe. And so I began to think about all the things I wanted to change. Instead of thinking of what I was thankful for, of the beautiful features that I did have. And that was very hard for me to do. But now I realize that God made you perfect, just as you are. You are unique the way you were created. And even say you don't believe in God, you have to admit that you are God's highest form of creation.
Yes.
You're able to create, you're able to reason, and it's even more of a miracle if you don't believe in God, because think about it, you have to have male sperm and female egg to create a human being, and if you don't believe that God created us, then you believe that life just started without having the male sperm and the female egg. It just happened out of a single cell. And that's even more of a miracle. So you are a miracle. You have value, and you are beautiful, and you are perfect as you are. And I don't care what anybody says, you are made perfect just the way you are. You don't have to go change yourself to look like somebody else. Because you are uniquely you.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. You know, she can drop the phone just on that point by itself. Great, 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 great tips. I think somebody's going to be blessed by what you just said, Marie, and I appreciate you for speaking from the heart, and I know you just spoke to somebody's heart with those great words. Marie, as busy as you are, international CEO company, I know you have a heart for the people, and you have a heart for helping people get to the next level of their greatness. So if somebody would want to reach out to have a more intimate conversation with you or to get more information about what you're doing with the company, how's the best way for them to reach out to you?
The best way to reach out to me is via Facebook. I have a Facebook page, Marie Cosgrove, and you can reach me there. And send me a message, and I'd be more than happy to connect with you.
Love it, love it, love it. Thank you, Marie. You know what? We have talked to each other before we got a chance to meet with each other in Texas, and when we met in Texas, it just felt like a brother and sister relationship. You're You're so approachable, you're so engaging, and you just have, like I said, you're one of those people with this unstoppable spirit, and your story proves it, how each and every time you get knocked down, you get back up, you go harder, and you prove to the world that you are unstoppable. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for taking out the time to be on the Unstoppable Story Show. And the door is always open for you to come back.
Well, thank you so much. I'm so thankful to be on your show to be a guest. I so appreciate you, and I just love you and your wife. Y'all are amazing. And I can't wait till we do another event together again.
Well, you know what? I just talked to John earlier on Facebook. He's in Chicago, so I'm trying to get you into Chicago. So let's keep that in mind. I am going to hold you accountable to getting together and collaborating in 2018 so that we can share not only your story, but share your message with the rest of the world, because you're one of those people that I consider unstoppable, Marie. So let's make it happen, okay?
Thank you.
All right. That was Marie Cosgrove, the CEO of Balance Back. You can check her out on Facebook, Marie Cosgrove, COSGROVE, on Facebook. Acela Banks says she loved the interview. Sharon Johnson Lefferts, thank you, Marie. Great things come in small packages, and never judge a book by its cover. All great things that we talked about. And I hope you enjoyed hearing Marie's unstoppable story. It definitely spoke to my heart. It definitely warmed my heart. And I hope that it did the same for you, because that's the whole point of the Unstoppable Story Show, where we talk to ordinary people that you may not think are ordinary because you see these great letters in front of their name or at the end of their name, CEO. But when you really get a chance to spend time with them, you see that they're just like you and me. They put their pants on one leg at a time. They deal with their children each and every day. They go to work and they make a living. They come home and they do their best despite the trials and tribulations that they went through. So I hope you were inspired by this story. And let me leave you by reflecting on the tips that she talked about at the end. And, you know, she talked about that you are unique. You are like nobody else that God ever created. From the hairs on your head to the tips of your toes, you are unique, and cherish that and walk in that and embrace that and be happy about that. And then she also said that be clear about what you want, where you want to go, and who you want to be, and learn to accept those, create and accept boundaries in your life so that you can walk in that path with clarity, with tenacity, with purpose. And then finally, I'm going to summarize the third thing she said, because it's really just three words. It's never give up. No matter what life throws your way, no matter what trials you may go through, no matter what tribulations you may have to encounter, whatever mountains you may have to climb, whatever valleys you may have to crawl through, whatever you have to do, recognize that it is in preparation for your next level greatness. And never, ever give up. Hey, I'm Terrence, the Unstoppable Coach Lefferts. Again, thanks to Marie Cosgrove for being our guest on the show. She says, thank you for being an amazing host. I love all of you. Thank you for joining. She thanks John, Sulandia, Estella, Tavia, and Sharon, and we thank you, Marie. And thank you all for joining us live on Facebook, as well as listening to the replay on blogtalkradio.com. If you know somebody that can need to get unstuck so that they can be unstoppable, if you know somebody that is at this point where they are ready to give up, I recommend that you send this replay to them, whether you do it on Facebook or whether you send them the link of blogtalkradio.com/unstoppable stories. It will change their lives. And as always, no matter where you are in the world today and whatever you may do this week, have an attitude of gratitude. Think about those five things that you're grateful for over this next week. And no matter what you're doing, don't just make it a great day. Make it an unstoppable day. Take care.